No less than 26 nations are involved in searching for that missing Malaysian Airlines plane. And despite the tragedy, it is a refreshing sight when different nations, some of them in fact have disputes among themselves, but are united in addressing a tragedy. And that proves that it can be done on the level of international diplomacy. First, look behind your disputes in order to address something that is crisis. It is so much harder on the individual level. We know that disputes between individuals can often be mean and sweeping. Now, Christians are not immune from personal disputes, but it should be carried on and distinguished by a Christian spirit. Ang mga Kristiyano, hindi tayo nawawala ng sigalot din sa ating karanasan, ngunit kahit magkaroon ng sigalot, dapat na panatilihin ang Kristiyanong diwa. We should carry on even our disputes and conflicts with a Christian spirit. A model of that spirit is the Apostle Paul in the conflict he sought to restore with the Corinthians. This conflict is the story behind the writing of the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. The church in Corinth is divided in their response to a severe letter of the Apostle Paul. After a falling out between them, that severe letter no longer exists. But in that severe letter, it was a rebuke to the church, and he was awaiting Titus' report, how the church responded. And when they met in Macedonia, Titus reported that there is a side from the leadership mostly who remains adamant and resistant to the authority of Paul. And the latter section of the second letter to the Corinthians, specifically chapters 10 to 13, are addressed to them. And this was our series 2 years ago on nature of the mature. But then Titus reported there was a greater majority who repented and wanted restoration with the Apostle Paul. So what about them? Well, this is our present series. The first half of the letter is our present series. What about those who were restored? What is in store for them? But we wonder at the Apostle Paul, such a man who can stand above personal hurts and abuse. After all the abuse that he received from the Corinthian people, where does Paul draw the courage to restore? Well, we saw that in the opening lines, this was a man who was in the posture of worship. He began his letter in doxology, addressed to the God of all comfort. And because of this, Paul, in spite of the hurt and the abuse he received, could continue to direct worship to God and continue to have fellowship, to exercise fellowship with the saints. We are now dealing with the next section after the opening. I invite you again to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read again verses 8 to 11. This was our same text last week, and we will progress in our exposition. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. In verse 11, you also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. So Paul here makes reference to a terrible affliction without describing the exact details of what it was, but its effects on him was, he said, to despair of life. He did not think that he would survive that ordeal. He felt like a sentence of death was passed or was imposed on him. We can have some idea what that ordeal was because he gave us a list of those sufferings he went through in chapter 6. Later on in our series, God willing, it could be any of those. He mentions shipwreck, he mentions illnesses, and many things else. But for Paul, the what of affliction is less important than its why. The why of affliction. And this is important to us too. And my message is the same message last week. The afflictions of believers are designed to mold reliance upon God. ang mga kapighatian ng mga mananampalataya ay niloob ng Diyos o inayos ng Diyos upang hubugin ang ating pag-asa, pagtitiwala sa Diyos lamang. In this brief passage so far, since we started, we are seeing a package full of reasons for the believer's sufferings. In the last messages, we saw that our afflictions reveal to us the God of comfort so that we may minister comfort to others who are afflicted. But now Paul takes a step further as afflictions not only give us the right attitude to others to minister comfort to them, when we develop this attitude, another attitude has to do with God. And that attitude Paul calls reliance upon God. And we said last week, if we have this reliance upon God, it will enable us to do two things. Last week we said, orienting from oneself to God, iniaangkop tayo mula sa sarili tungo sa Diyos, orienting from oneself to God. We saw last week that self-reliance is the opposition to reliance upon God. But this afternoon, we go to the second point, requesting the brethren for help. We see here Paul's request spelled out in verse 11. His reliance upon God did not mean he felt no need of others. Rather, we see here Paul requesting the brethren for help. After underscoring his reliance upon God, Paul makes this request, "You also must help us by prayer." While this may sound ordinary enough to us, we must learn from this Paul's idea of reliance upon God. And that should also check our idea of reliance upon God. And I have two things. First, reliance on God includes needing brethren to help. Ang umaasa sa Diyos ay kasama ang pangangailangan ng tulong ng kapatiran. Reliance on God includes needing brethren to help. And secondly, reliance on God highlights seeking brethren to pray. Ang umaasa sa Diyos ay binibigyang diin ang paghahanap ng panalangin ng kapatiran. Reliance on God highlights seeking brethren to pray. So first of all then, we have here Paul's idea of reliance on God includes needing brethren to help. It is often the case that we use the language of reliance upon God, but hidden in that language is really an attitude of self-reliance. And the evidence of that kind of self-reliance is when it yields no place to needing the brethren. Yung sinasabi natin, kuminsan umaasa lamang ako sa Diyos, ngunit ko ang isang bunga niyan ay nawawala na ang pangangailangan mo ng kapatiran, hindi yan tunay na umaasa sa Diyos, umaasa ka pa rin sa iyong sarili. This is not the spirit of Paul's reliance on God, because right after, he issues a request with a must. You also must help us by your prayers. We learn here that the believers' reliance on God is worked out in the context of the body life of the church. Yung biyaya na umaasa tayo sa Diyos, ito ay kumikilos sa konteksto ng buhay ng katawan ng iglesia. It is in the context of the body life of the church. This request for help is even very remarkable for Paul because it comes right after his assurance of God's deliverance. He said, "He delivered us from such a deadly peril." He refers to a past deliverance. And from that past deliverance, he then makes this a precedent on his assurance. He says, "And he will deliver us again." And he added, "On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again." These are very assured statements by Paul that God will deliver him. And we might have expected Paul to put a period then and say no more of any need he has for the Corinthians. But unlike many professing Christians who use the language of reliance on God, but really hiding or hidden in it is self-reliance, for Paul, reliance on God is informed by his doctrine of the church. We belong to the body of Christ. When you belong to Christ, you belong to the universal church expressed and manifested in local churches. And this is borne out by the very word he used for help. Of the many alternatives for the word help, he used that which has the idea of help us by joining. This is an undertaking of the body life of the church. Now, Paul believes certainly in the sufficiency of God. In fact, that is of the essence of reliance upon God, believing not in our self-sufficiency, but in the sufficiency of God. But rather than excluding the brethren's help, he affirms its necessity. Hindi ko umaasa sa Diyos at naniniwala tayo sa kasapatan ng Diyos ay nawawala ang pangangailangan sa kapatiran. Again, take note of the must. You also must help us after saying God will deliver us. We have put our hope upon God. He will deliver us again. Assured statements. But then he adds, you also must help us. Do you have that place in your reliance upon God? You see, just like other graces, reliance on God grows in the context of working it out in church life. Think of other graces, love, peace, patience. These are graces that you don't grow alone. These are graces that grow in the context of being, of impinging upon the lives of brethren. It is therefore an unacceptable irony for one to claim reliance on God and then insist on being in solitude. Hindi maaring sabihin natin umaasa lamang tayo sa Diyos at gusto nating magsarili. This is the reason why the first duty of the believer in Christ is to join a biblically ordered church. If you believe yourself to be a believer, your first duty is not to win souls. Your first duty is not to be a Bible study leader. Your first duty is to join the brethren in a covenant church. Now, let me make myself clear. You are not saved by joining the church. Salvation is coming to Christ. Christ alone is Savior. And if you haven't done that, for the many times you have heard the gospel preached from this pulpit, yet once more I am telling you, you are under condemnation until you come to Christ, because the opposite of condemnation is justification, and justification is only in Christ. Don't join the church for hoping that it may save you. It will not, unless you are in Christ. But once you are in Christ, your first duty is to join the church, because every grace in which we should grow is in the context of the life, the body life of the church. Now, you may have many reasons that you convince yourself why you are not doing so. The enemy will make you look at the imperfections of the church and see many faults and flaws, and then conclude it is better for me not to join the church. Well, think of Corinth. This is the Corinthian church. Paul is seeking to help him. Think of the problems spelled out in the first letter of Paul. Problem of partisanship. Problem concerning the Lord's Supper. It was a mess. Problem of discipline. Problem of doctrine concerning the resurrection. I mean, there were so many problems in the first letter. And yet here is Paul, ready to restore. And the mark of the restoration is that he is seeking the help. Yes, even of the Corinthians. And if your stance or attitude is, I see so many flaws and faults, I will not join, you are breaking the principle and the clear commandment of the Lord. None of those deters Paul from seriously and sincerely asking their help by joining together. That is the body life of the church. Before medicine became the advanced discipline that it is, one university which initiated the scientific exploration of the medical field is the University of Padua in Italy. In 1594, it built a theater But no, it's not drama that was shown in the theater. It was public dissections of the physical anatomy. They were studying every part of the body, even back then, scientifically. And it was public. The public is being made to know the functions of the body. Well, we are like that body dissection in public. We are showing to the world how the body functions. And you should be part of that body. You will be an anomaly if you insist on being a Christian in solitude, because that is not the will of the Lord. Well, in our church, then my challenge is, let us cultivate fellowship in our church that exchanges seeking help and offering help. Magkaroon tayo ng fellowship, pag-uugnayan sa ating iglesia na nagpapalitan ng paghingi ng tulong at pag-alok ng tulong. The fact that Paul expresses his need of help from the Corinthians marks an evidence of restored fellowship. It is a mark of edifying fellowship in the church when there is that healthy exchange of help, seeking, offering. Christians often compound their trouble unnecessarily because they are not seeking help. And that is not reliance on God, but self-reliance. Part of the humility of reliance on God is to need others. The very simple reason is that God normally uses his people to help one another. And so with churches, the problem becomes grievous when you are in spiritual peril and yet you choose to keep it to yourself. We have heard how Apostle Paul was in distress. And how did God comfort him? Well, it tells us himself, 2 Corinthians 7, God, the God who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Fellowship. We need it. When we insist on solitude, it becomes a lot easier for the enemy of our faith to gain foothold and advantage. And that may be our peril. Now, just as we must seek the help of the brethren, be one who is ready to offer help to someone in need. In the first letter to the Corinthians, Apostle Paul sought that help on behalf of Timothy when he said in 1 Corinthians 16, 10 and 11, when Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace. Now take note the contrast there. Do not despise him. But how do you show that you are not despising? That is, you are not looking down on him. Help him. The mark of treating another brother or sister with high estimation is the offer to help. Timothy, as we know from the other data of the New Testament, was of diffident personalities. Mahiyain siya. At yun ang bilin sa kanya ni Apostle Pablo na we are not given the spirit of fear, but of power. But precisely because Paul knew his personality and temperament, he sought help on his behalf. And there are those Timothys in our midst, perhaps, who need that help. We know William Wilberforce as the liberator of slavery, having campaigned in the British Parliament to end slave trade and then furthermore slavery itself. But he would not have been the slave liberator we know him to be had it not been on a very important night when he was feeling depressed about being a member of Parliament and he thought he would better serve God as preacher and as minister. He sought the help of John Newton, you know, the author of Amazing Grace. And it was John Newton who pressed him, pushed him to remain in Parliament, that he can do the work of God there. And through that advice, we say history was made. And there are those situations when a simple word of advice, encouragement, helping is something that can really build someone's reliance on God. So reliance on God includes needing brethren to help. But secondly, reliance on God highlights seeking brethren to pray. Ang umaasa sa Diyos ay pinalalaki ang pangangailangan ng panalangin ng kapatiran. Reliance on God highlights seeking brethren to pray. Because our ultimate reliance is on God, even if brethren help, if God will not act, it will prove futile. Therefore, to Paul, of all the help that the brethren from Corinth could give, Paul sees most his need of their prayer. And he adds this, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Well, we learn one thing here, that God's blessing is normally bestowed in answer to the prayers of believers. Ang pagpapahala ng Diyos ay karaniwan niyang ipinagkakaloob bilang tugon sa panalangin ng mga mananampalataya. Now, I'm not limiting God to prayers. Not at all. God is not limited by the prayers of His people, not limited by their lack of prayers. He can skip the means. But Paul knows that God loves to hear His people pray, especially when they unite together in prayer. Listen to Romans 15:30. I appeal to you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit in that you strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. He believes in the effectiveness of the prayers of the saints. And right here in our text, there is one reason why God loves His people to pray. Paul says, many will give thanks. Because God loves to bless His people, He expects thanksgiving as a response from the blessed ones. God is pleased with thanksgiving. The flip side of that is that God is displeased with the ingratitude of the unthankful. Kung tayo pinagpapala ng Diyos, isang kasalanan ang magkulang tayo sa pasasalamat. But you see here the point of the Apostle Paul, to fail to seek the prayers of brethren is to withhold what could be a potential thanksgiving to God. And that's what God is seeking, that His people recognize that they are blessed, and that recognition begins with thanksgiving. Have you thanked God for your blessings sincerely? You may have caught on TV that mother in anguish, mother of one of the passengers of the missing plane, and she was pleading. She was speaking in Chinese, but there was an underscored translation, and she was pleading, just give me my son. And she repeats that over and over again. And of course, the Malaysian officials were simply helpless to answer that plea. But God is not helpless. When we plead and plead from the depths of our hearts, God loves to answer prayers. And He loves to answer prayers because He loves the thanksgiving of His people. So challenge to us, grow in the spirit of needing to pray for brethren and to be prayed for by the brethren. Lumago tayo sa pangangailangan, sa diwa na kailangan natin na manalangin para sa kapatiran at kailangan natin ng panalangin ng kapatiran. This is the opportunity that we have in the maximum when we gather in the prayer meeting of the church. You do not justify neglect of the prayer meeting by claiming that you pray in solitude for the same requests anyway. The prayer meeting is the time when we join our minds and spirits together for the matters we pray for. And remember Paul's words, through the prayers of many. And there's something interesting about the words that he used. In the original, and only a few translations reflect this, in the original he was actually saying, through the prayers of many faces. And commentators suggest that Paul is using the Greek drama where on the final curtain, the actors and performers would join together in bowing to the audience, something they still do today. And what Paul is saying is that by joining me in prayer, we will be like together bowing down, not alone, together bowing down, people seeing the faces of those who were performers in the drama. But you see, Paul's point is that praying brings you to the drama. You are included in the drama. You may be far away from the scene, far away from where Paul's mission field was, but because you prayed, Paul's point is, you join me in bowing down. We are together. Sama-sama tayo na sa ating gawain at simulain dahil kayo ay sumama sa panalangin. So here, reliance on God is first expressed in the language of prayer, our prayer, but then also seeking others to pray. And again, join Paul in his conviction, prayers of the saints are effective. You have no idea how the prayer of someone else or of others is rendering help to you in unseen ways. But it does. When you are the one requested for prayer, take it seriously. Really pray. Minsan, nare-request ang prayer natin pagkatapos, oh, sige, pag-pray ko. Then, it goes away. Undone. Unacted. You see, asking for prayer is not a good luck wish for Christians. It is believing that God loves to hear the prayers of His people. So, love joining the prayers of the saints. And grow in the need to have brethren pray for you. Many have analyzed Spurgeon's successful ministry. And he was successful in many ways, far above the average during his time. Many analyze it, say he has such a wonderful voice and such a rich memory. He could quote hymns and verses just by memory. Well, Spurgeon himself had his own evaluation why the Lord has blessed his ministry. And he make no second thought about it when he said, because my people pray for my ministry. And that is something which we need to grow in as we carry on the attitude of reliance upon God. Reliance upon God includes needing the brethren to help, but because it is reliance upon God, it is seeking brethren to pray. So affliction is meant to make us rely on God, not on self, but it also means we need the brethren. Do you feel that? Do you know that in your heart? And do you express it in your language to the brethren? Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, tunay nga pong hamunin mo ang bawat isa sa amin ng tunay na diwang umaasa sa iyo, at ang diwang ito ay hindi kinakalimutan ang pangangailangan namin ng pakikipag-ugnayan sa mga kapatiran. Help us, Lord, to see that reliance on God includes needing brethren to help, because reliance on God is like other graces meant to be worked out in the context of the body life of the church. And may we as a church show that body life in the eyes of the world, how we help one another. May there be fellowship in this church, which is one of exchange, of seeking help and offering help. May we be sensitive to those around us who perhaps, like Timothy, are ill at ease. But help us, Lord, to be sensitive so that we may help them, and help can do wonders to a brother or a sister in terms of growth, grace, and ministry. So help us, Lord, not to spare the opportunities that we can help each other. And because it is reliance on God, it highlights seeking brethren to pray. Of all the help that brethren can render to us, one that anyone can do is that of praying for us, and may we have like Paul's conviction that the prayers of the saints are indeed effective. They render help in many unseen ways, and we pray therefore that we may have that reliance on God, that one thing that we need of our brethren is their intercession and their prayer, and at the same time to realize that it yields thanksgiving to God, because God normally blesses through answer to prayers. He expects and He is pleased with thanksgiving. May we therefore be sensitive to our own need to be thankful and to seek prayers so that others may render thanksgiving to our God. And so we ask that we may have such a fellowship in this church where prayers are exchanged, both seeking it and offering it, and grant that in this we may see the real mark of a restored relationship where prayers are rendered for each other. We give you thanks for all of this. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.